Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor it is to open your word once again and look at another prayer. And we see so much in these prayers that strikes a chord in our own heart and how we are and where our hearts really are. And today we'll look at a prayer that encompasses jealousy, envy, but it also shows your grace. We'll see the humility of Moses. So humility is always the opposite of pride, and so we always have pride seems to slip in pretty much every time. And we see Moses being silent when most of us would have talked back. And so, Lord, there's just great lessons in this, and reminds us, those of us who are going through the book of Samuel right now, as far as so many parallels with the lessons we get there from looking at David's life. So guide us this morning. May we look at our own lives, Lord, and learn what you would have us, as you remind us over and over again of these pretty much same things. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by just singing a little Maranatha song here. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. We see here that in this particular prayer, it says that Moses is the most humble of all men. And so how much of a stretch is that to put your name in there or my name in there? And I don't think there's enough stretch to get my name in there. But anyways, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Let us just let our hearts go with that for a moment.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Okay, have a seat. We want to turn to Numbers chapter 12, and last time in Numbers chapter 11. You know, it seems like every time that God moves Israel about 8 miles down the road, they complain or they murmur. And so last week they were murmuring first about manna. They wanted meat. They were murmuring. It doesn't even tell us what they were murmuring about. And then later, same chapter, they started murmuring about the manna and they wanted meat. So God gave them meat, till it came out of their nostrils. Kind of a tough chapter. Now they go 8 miles up the road, or about eight, we think. We don't really know where these cities are. Anyway, it's not many days' journey. It's probably a 2 or 3 day journey with all of their cattle and all that stuff. But now they run into another problem again. As soon as they stop, I guess they have time to complain, right? If you're really busy, you probably don't have too much time to complain. But here we see a whole bunch of things coming out here that so relate to us, so relate to me. Then Miriam is leading this, which is not really good, Miriam. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now, I don't know if you know what false pretense is in your life, but here's a false pretense. They're not really concerned about who he marries, but they're using that as an excuse to get into this complaining. Then Moses and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. You think, oh, that's what it's all about. No, go to the next verse. So they said, now what this has to do with this, nothing has to do with marrying an Ethiopian woman. We don't even know that he did. He may have. We don't think Zipporah was, she's more, anyway, going on. Verse 2. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And then five great words, and the Lord heard it.
Yeah.
Doesn't say Moses heard it. Moses doesn't even react. Precious Moses.
Just his sister.
Now Moses was humble more than all men who were on the face of the earth. But now who does speak? Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. Wow. You know, a calling by the Lord is good, isn't it? Most of the time.
Whoa.
This is not such a good calling. In verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Verse 4, suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. I bet they did. Then the Lord came down. Now he is really moved when he calls them out and he comes down, right? I mean, this is not just kind of a trivial little thing that, well, this is just not too worthy to even pay attention to. I think that's a pretty big deal here. The Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. Wow. And called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. I bet they did. Then he said, this is God speaking now. Hear now my words. Are we listening? Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. Now, we know with Abraham and the other church fathers, it was pretty much visions and dreams. But here he's speaking directly to Moses. He spoke to Abraham too, but he spoke to him in dreams as well. If there is a prophet among you, I myself will make known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Wow. Now put your name in there. Does that fit again? I speak to him face to face. That means intimately. It doesn't really mean he's not going to be speaking to God like we speak to one another face to face, because we don't know that God has a face. He's spirit. If he spoke, he saw him face to face, he'd probably be burned up. But God is saying, I'm intimate with him. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. Not in riddles, not in mysteries. He speaks plainly. And he, Moses, sees the form of the Lord. Doesn't say it sees the Lord. He sees the form of the Lord. A spirit only has form. We see in Job, for example, Eliphaz is telling him that he saw a spirit, and he said he saw the form of it. So if you see a spirit, you don't see anything but a form of it, I believe it sounds to me like. He sees the form of the Lord. Okay, now, we get down back to his anointed here again, once again. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, those of you who were in the Monday night, Tuesday morning class this week in Samuel, that's exactly the problem that we had there with these people speaking against the anointed. Remember, the Amalekite got killed. He got executed by David because he came against the Lord's anointed. And then again this week we're going to have it with Mephibosheth, not Mephibosheth, but Ishbosheth. And so this thing of not coming against the Lord's anointed seems to be a pretty big deal. How big is it a deal to you? How much do you find yourself criticizing pastors or others who are anointed by the Lord? It's good if you want to go back to them, but don't go to the other people, right? Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So that's what this is all about. It's not about the Ethiopian woman he married. It's about their envy and jealousy in the fact that their little brother is getting all the perks. The little brother is getting all the press. But here, notice the anger of the Lord, verse 9. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. That's not good when God departs, particularly in a bad situation. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam's the instigator here, Miriam becomes leprous, as white as snow. Now, we can't imagine how bad that would be, because in that day, there was no cure for leprosy. When you had leprosy, you were banished. You would never be with your family or anybody again other than other lepers. That was your rest of your life. So she's now a leper. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? She is white as snow, and Aaron turned toward Miriam. Now notice, Aaron is going to be very quick here to repent, which is a beautiful thing. Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned." Wow. Got the picture yet? How about your jealousy? How about your envy? How about your speaking out against others? Verse 12, "Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." So as a leper, she's not really dead, but she's half dead, right? Now Moses cries out to the Lord. Would you have cried out to the Lord so quickly after what your sister and brother told you? I mean, most of us, it would make them really upset. Serves you right, sis. No, I don't know what you'd say that. But here he cries out to the Lord saying, "Please heal her, O God." Now, those of you who say, "Well, I'm not eloquent with my prayers. I don't know how to make long, eloquent prayers." Can you say five words, with the longest word here being six letters? "Please heal her, O God." That's the prayer for today. "Please heal her, O God, I pray." That's the prayer. Then the Lord spoke. Then the Lord said to Moses, here's how serious this is in a way, "If your father had but spit in her face," that word spit, by the way, is in the active continuing, it means he would continue to spit until a person was covered with spit. "If her father had spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again." Heavy duty. Now notice what happens to the progress of the body of Christ here in looking at the multitude that way. So Moses was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. So notice how I think, let's take it back to a little closer to home in a way. Let's say God is calling you to do something. When you react out of envy, out of jealousy, or whatever you react against what the Lord wants you to do, the work stops, doesn't it? You don't go forward in doing what he's asking you to do if you're rebelling, right? You're going backward, right? And so here's what's happening to the whole group. They can't move until she comes back. Afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth and encamped in the wilderness of Paran. So they're now moving once again. But we've had a week's delay here because of the outbreak of jealousy and envy here. And not happy with what the Lord is doing. That's the same back to the complaining, isn't it? We complain because we'll see it this week in the Samuel account as Joab speaks against the king. What have you done? We don't want to come against our king and say, what have you done, right? The same thing as complaining, right? We're not happy with the lot. I'm not happy with the things going. Lord, what have you done? So may we learn from that. Father, we thank you for this remarkably clear prayer and the circumstances involving around it. We know you hear us. And we know you want us to pray. We know you want us to pray in accordance with your will. Not our will, but your will to be done, Lord. So we have much to pray for. The Israel situation. We got all kinds of situations in Washington and hatred and rebellion, and we got people coming against the church, people coming against those standing, reading different reactions about people even wearing the freedom shirts of Charlie Kirk, and how such vile and violent reactions against just that. And so, Lord, it just shows where the hearts are and the wickedness there. So, Lord, help us to look at ours as well. But right now, help us just to pray as you would lead us to pray and redeem these moments together as you would lead us and teach us in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I want to thank you for apparently bringing it closer to the release of the hostages in Gaza. Thank you for the move among quite a number of the Muslim nations. Thank you for our president. Thank you for Winnikoff. Thank you for Huckabee. Yeah. And Netanyahu. And Lord, we know there'll be no lasting peace until you return. But if there could be a temporary release, a temporary relief and a release of the hostages. We thank you for that. And we praise you. We lift up the fighting going on in Washington now in the Senate and the refusal to back off of their unreasonable request and so concerned about elections and AOC and that Mad Manny guy in New York, apparently kind of leading the far left now, and everybody's afraid of him. But Lord, not getting into details, you know, all that foolishness, I just pray that there would be protection and guidance in Mike Johnson and John Thune and others who are so godly and praying for the right thing to happen and doing what they think is your will. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for this nation that you've kept us for 249 years with the original Constitution, which you allowed and caused to come together. And we thank you for what you've done in this nation. And so, Lord, we just pray that there would be more turning to you, because we're all these problems we see are a result of godlessness, of turning against you, and the only thing that can change your heart is you. And so we pray for changed hearts today, and we pray for the church, for the true church, to pray, Lord. And we thank you for this opportunity to pray right now. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for working through First Lady Melania, yes, with Putin and those 8 children that have been returned from Russia to Ukrainian people, and the cooperation that is there, and her boldness in reaching out through that letter of unification for the sake of the children. And may we all stand for what is right, Lord. And we know in these last days, perilous times will come. And we see this whole list of descriptions of the people, headstrong, boasters, haters, and so forth. And all of that is what is happening, and it shouldn't surprise us. We should expect it. You told us that. The same times of great things happening, of people coming to you, and that's the way it always will be. We just want the good and not the bad, but you're sifting, Lord.
Yes, exactly.
Heaven is only for those who love you. And you're the one who, the only one who can determine who loves you. And you do so masterfully. So, Lord, we know you are righteous and just, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your demonstration again, even today, in the little prayer situation of your grace and your mercy, never ending. So we praise you. We praise you. So direct our prayers as you are on those areas that we should bring before you.
Amen. Well, let's close. Let's stand and sing this song of grace. I think we see grace again in today's prayer with God giving his grace. And we bring up Aaron, you know, and I criticize Aaron. We're not done with Aaron. He's going to have another great failure with a golden calf coming up pretty soon. And we say, how could he be a high priest? He's such a mess. But he wasn't picked because of his qualifications, any more than we've been saved because of our qualifications. It's all out of his grace. Such a perfect example of his grace. And when we compare the past high priest with our high priest, then we start to see the marvel of the high priest that we have. Perfect in every way and forever and ever. So let's sing this Michael Smith song here, Grace.
Found me here. You pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be a fool for the King of Love. He gave me wings so I could fly, and gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you. And all I want is all of you. It's grace, grace. I'm nothing without you. Grace, your grace shines on me. To carry, nothing left to say. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost. You traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you've carried me. You've been my eyes when I could not see. Driving rain. grace, it shines on me.
Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your mercy that endures forever. We just praise your name today, Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Lord, eyes and hearts on you, and Lord, may your spirit in each of us be so evident for all that see us to recognize you, Lord, and be drawn to you. Help us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, I pray you would bless the people here, go before them. And Lord, we're it. We're the church. Just a tiny, tiny part of the church, but we are the church. And you said, if my people, you're not calling on the lawlessness, you're calling on the church.
Yes.
Humble ourselves. Yes. Bow down to you. Pray to you and turn from our wickedness, Lord. Then you've already promised to heal the land. So we thank you, Lord. May your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.